Who else but God? Amen. He's the answer. Mother's Day is a time in which we are reminded to think about the role of mothers, the influence of mothers. It's a time to be reminded of their importance, of their faithfulness. It's also a time to be reminded of our responsibility as a child. I asked before, how many of you are children? Well, you may not have a mother that's alive right now, but every one of us are a child. And if we do have a mom that is living, we have responsibility to honor her and to be thankful for her. Some people may say, well, Pastor, you don't know my mom. I don't. I know that there are some moms that are bad, that don't do what is right. We read about it, hear about it in the news. But we also know that, for the most part, moms are a picture of God's love and care for us. God said it himself in Isaiah 66, in verse 13, as one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you. Just like a mom comforts, encourages her child, God says, I'm going to do the same unto you. And moms have a great position with that. A mother's responsibility is awesome. Therefore, it must be approached with prayer. I came across this prayer years ago, and I think it's a good one, expresses some good thoughts. And so I want you to listen real carefully about what it says, that this may be your prayer as a mom, as a dad as well, for us as parents. It says, Lord, give me patience. Well, that's certainly something moms, we all need. Give me patience when we hands tug at me with their demands. Give me gentle and smiling eyes. Keep my lips from hasty replies. Let not weariness, confusion, or noise obscure my vision of life's fleeting joys. So when in years to come my house is still, no bitter memories its rooms may feel. Amen. Life without regrets, isn't that a wonderful thought? I don't know too many parents that say that they look back on their life and not have some regrets, that they've done some things a little differently if they could do all over again. That's every one of us. We're human. And we have that tendency. There's no reason to dwell on those things, but we're to pick up and to go forward with the right behavior and the right actions, the right responses to the best that we can. And so that's what that prayer is about. Lord, give me patience. Help my reaction to things not be one that's hasty and incorrect. But Lord, help me to respond in such a way that would be encouraging, that would be correcting, that would be whatever is necessary at the time, so that later on I can look back and not have the regrets that's there. Because God has given mothers a great responsibility. God has also given them the possibility of having a great influence and a great reward. So I've entitled the message this morning, A Mother's Influence and Reward. Father, I pray that you would help us as we look into your word, as we look at the subject matter that's before us today, to understand that not just for mothers, but for each one of us as believers, we have characteristics that should be in line with your truth. And I pray that you would guide me as I seek to share this message. Help each one of us here today to listen carefully for what you have for us, that we may leave out of here better equipped for the responsibilities that you have entrusted us with. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I first want us to see the first of five things that a mother's relationship to her children could bring there. We need to understand, first of all, a mother's love. Mother's love is a natural thing. Praise the Lord for that. It's something very unusual when we read or hear about a mother that does not have any love for her children. I know this is possible out there. There's people that are like that way. But at the same time, for the most part, a mother's love is a natural thing. In 1 Corinthians 13, we call it the love chapter of the New Testament. And it gives for us in the first few verses an importance. It emphasizes the importance of love. And then it starts to give a description of love. It tells us what love is. And a mother may not have perfect love every day, but her love is here to stay. And we need to understand that. I came across this I thought was an important little poem. It says, "It takes a mother's patience to bring a child upright, her and her courage and her cheerfulness to make a dark day bright. It takes a mother's kindness to forgive us when we err, to sympathize in trouble and bow her head in prayer. It takes a mother's wisdom to recognize our needs and give us reassurance by her loving words and deeds. It takes a mother's endless faith, her confidence and trust, to guide us through the pitfalls of selfishness and lust. It takes a mother's love to make a house a home, a place to be remembered no matter where we roam." And that is why in all the world there could not be another who could fulfill God's purpose as completely as a mother. And God has given you as moms a great opportunity, a great privilege, a great responsibility. And you are to have a love for your children. It's a natural thing, but it's also a learned thing. To that natural love, we are to add, we're to learn how to develop it. You know, there is the natural part, but there's a learning that needs to be done. Moms, you need to learn more and more how to love your children, how to love your husband. Increase that love that God has given you that's natural. You are to learn how to demonstrate it. Love that Jesus Christ had for us and for us is sacrificial first. A mother's love, I believe, to be demonstrated is one that sacrifices a lot for her children, for her family. That natural love needs to learn how to properly direct that love consistently. I've talked to you before about that inconsistency of favoritism. We need to be careful that we do not play favorites within our children. There's some that may match more easily with your interest, but we have to reach out and be consistent with all and demonstrate that love for all. So that natural love needs to be developed, it needs to be demonstrated, and it needs to be directed consistently and correctly. Not only does that love need to be learned, but that love needs to be caught. Your children need to catch that love. Your children will learn to love their children the way that you love them. Your girls will learn to love their husbands as you love your husband. Your boys, your sons, will learn of a wife's love for a husband by watching you. Moms, your children are watching. What are they learning from you about love? You know, I've watched over the many years that I've been in ministry, 10 of them as a youth pastor before I came here, and going on 33 years here real quick. And in these years, I've seen situations where there was a family that you think, oh man, what a great testimony and example they are of godliness and the proper things that's taking place in their lives. And then I've seen some families that I think, how in the world will their daughter ever know what a wife should be? And it's a shame. But mothers, you have a great responsibility to be that one that they catch. They learn what type of a love they should have by watching you. And so understand the influence of a mother's love, which brings us then to number two. We understand the importance of a mother's life, an opportunity to be a great example. Before you can be a good mom, that's dealing with your relationship with your children, you need to be a good Christian. That's your relationship with God. That's something that I believe very strongly. Now, does that mean if you're not saved, if you do not know the Lord as your Savior, that you can't be a good person? I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying as a believer, one of the things that they need to see is that their mom has a relationship with God that is evident. It's not something that's just said, but it's something that is lived, that is an example for them to follow. That starts out with genuine salvation. My fear, as I've told you before, is that when everything is said and done in my life and I'm out of here, that one day I'll get and be in heaven in the Lord's presence, and I'll find out that there was somebody or somebodies that sat in the congregation right here in our church that's not present in heaven. I think, how could that happen? As much as we try to make clear of the need of salvation of every one of us, the way of salvation through the crucified Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and simply receiving the gift that He has extended unto to us, just like we would receive any other gift. By faith, we just say, Lord, that's what I want, that salvation. And yet have someone that's heard the truth over and over again and yet die without gaining that genuine salvation. God is not willing that any should perish, amen, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
He had His Son die on Calvary's cross to pay for our sin. Guess how much sin He paid for? He paid for all of it. You know what that means? There's not a sin that I ever could have done. There's not a sin I ever did that's too great for God to forgive. I could never, or no one else could ever sin so long that they would have racked up too many sins for God to forgive. And yet, there's still some that will not trust the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a sad situation. Mom, don't let that be your testimony. We need to have moms that are genuinely saved. We also need to have moms that are fellowshipping with God. What breaks our fellowship with God? After we've been saved, after we have that relationship with God, our fellowship can be broken because of sin. In Isaiah 59 and verse 2, it says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. When we allow sin, these transgressions, to come in our life, we are then separating ourselves, allowing it to separate us from our fellowship with God. We are out of fellowship with God. Some people call it we're backslidden. We are not in the right standing. It's like a child with a parent that, let's say an adult child with a parent does something or says something or behaves in such a way and alienates himself from the parent. The parent's heart still longs for the child, but it's still the child makes amends. Until the child comes to themselves, like the prodigal son that returns unto the parent. That's needful. Don't let you be the example of the child that's gone astray from God, God's child. But we have taken care of the sin in our life by confessing that sin, admitting that we have done it, and allowing God to forgive us, having repented, turned from our sins, and not wanting it anymore. We need to be genuinely saved. We need to be fellowshipping with God, not letting any sin separate us. We need to be attending church. Moms, don't send your children to Sunday school and church. Bring them. Okay, you see the difference? Don't be a mom that says, hey, you need to go to church. It'll be good for you. But you don't go to church yourself. Hypocrite. If it's good for you, you need to be doing it as well. And I'm afraid that the lack of desire to be in God's house may be an indication of something far more serious. Could be an indication that they're not genuinely saved. And so there has to be a reckoning with that. Moms, you ought to be attending faithfully. Bring your children to church. Be here with them. And not only that, serving mom. Let your children see you in some avenue of service unto your Lord. Let those things be an example of a good Christian before your children. A good mom is a good Christian. Secondly, a good mom is a good wife, your relationship with your husband. Being a good wife is part of being a good Christian. That's what God desires for us. Desires for the wife, desires for the husband. You're coming on Father's Day. You'll get your message. But for right now, Lord willing, let's look at what a wife is to be there, knowing God's role for you and doing it, faithfully maintaining your part of the relationship. I've had some wives say to me, you know, I want our home to be a godly home and so forth, but my husband, he just will not do what I tell him to do. He will not come to church with me. He will not take the role that is needful for him as a Christian husband. I believe he's saved, but he just won't do it. Well, my answer to you is, God speaks to your heart about what he wants you to do. God will speak to his heart about what he wants him to do. Let God deal with your husband. You be faithful to do your part in your relationship with your husband, even if your husband doesn't. You be faithful to what God has called you to be and to do. Being a good example in both relationships, a good wife, a good Christian, because that means you'll be a good mom, your relationship with your children. And then a mother's influence. Because of their position, your position, your emotional attachment, your time of contact, you have a great influence upon your children. Mothers, parents as well, we must take care to be a positive influence. There's both examples in Scripture. There's example of evil influence of a mom, as well as positive. Ahaziah, king of Judah, in 2 Chronicles 22:3, it says, he also walked in all the ways of the house of Ahab. Now, stop right there. Ahab, I don't know if you know who he was. He was probably the most wicked king that Judah had. Ahab, remember his wife Jezebel? You know who I'm talking about? It says there that this king also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for or because his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. Wow. What a testimony. What an accountability. It's hard for me to imagine a mom or a dad counseling their children openly, knowing what they're doing, counseling them to do wrong, to take the wrong steps. But I guess it does happen in this world. I sure hope it's not happening in anybody in here today. An example of evil influence. But there's an example of good influence in the New Testament. In 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul the Apostle writes here to the young man Timothy, and he says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, the unfeigned, that's genuine, the genuine faith, when I remember the genuine faith that you have, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. He says, I want to encourage you because I remember, as I look at your life and the example of your genuine faith, I know at first was in your grandmother and your mother, and they influenced you to have this kind of faith as well. Mother can be a great influence. Henry Hines, the one with the 57 varieties. It's good on french fries, I hear. Don't need it on steak if you got a good steak. Okay. Anyway, in the will of Henry Hines, he says, when it was read there, it says, looking forward to the time when my earthly career will end, I desire to set forth at the very beginning of this will, as my most important item in it, a confession of my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I also desire to bear witness to the fact that throughout my life, in which there were unusual joys and sorrows, I have been wonderfully sustained by my faith in God through Jesus Christ. This legacy was left me by my consecrated mother, a woman of strong faith, and to it I attribute any success I have attained. What a testimony of the influence of a mother. Parents, children, they watch us. Your children see what you're like. Your children probably know you better than most people here in the church, because they see you behind closed doors. And we have a responsibility to have a testimony so that we will be an influence, a good influence upon our children. And then a children's responsibility. Well, there are several things that we're not to do, children. Here's some of them. In Proverbs 23 and verse 22, it says, hearken unto thy father that begot thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. The word despise there is a word that means to hold as insignificant, or not to listen to disregard. Don't disregard your mother. Don't take her words as something that you don't have to listen to and follow. In like manner, in Proverbs 30 and verse 17, it says, the eye that mocks at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pluck it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. Ugh. So the child that disobeys mom walks around like this and says, don't let them birds get me. Now, I was talking about God's judgment. And God says there that my judgment will be upon you if you disobey, if you don't listen to in order to follow the words of your parents, especially your moms. Deuteronomy 27:16, cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother. Do not take seriously what God has intended. So what are we to do? Leviticus 19:3 says, ye shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Fear your mother. Some of you do. Not talking about that in that way. Fear has to do with reverence, respect for the position, if not for the character. We are to respect our mothers. That's what the Lord says. Here in Ephesians 6, in verses 1 through 3, a familiar passage. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Obey your parents. Honor your parents. The first commandment with promise. The first of the Ten Commandments that had a promise tacked to it. In Exodus 20:12 was that commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Obey. Heed. Listen. Take action. That's on the outside. Honor. An attitude of highly esteeming. A recognition of their importance. That's on the inside. Both the honor that comes on the inside, as we think of our moms, as well as the obedience that comes on the outside, those are the things that God says that he commands for us as children, our responsibility for what we're to do. And then last, understand a mother's blessing. A wise child is a mother's blessing. In Proverbs 23, verses 24 and 25, this wise, godly child, he says, "The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice." It's a joy when we see that our children are growing up to be godly men, young men and women. A great joy. It's a great heartache when we don't see that. But it's a great blessing, a great joy. That's why the Apostle John said in 3 John 4, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Teach me thy way, O Lord." I'm going to walk where? In thy truth. We are to walk in God's truth. You can't walk in truth if you don't know what the truth is.
Amen.
We've got to educate ourselves to what God says in His Word to know that. Moms, that's a responsibility that you have. That you may be not only the example before your children, but you also may train them, teach them, help direct them. Because you are praying for a wise child that walks in the truth. So remember, being a mother is an awesome responsibility. Handle it with prayer. Being a child is an awesome responsibility. We are to honor and to obey our mothers. Having a wise child is a wonderful blessing. Be thankful to God. Having a good mother is also a wonderful blessing. Be mindful to honor her today and always. Happy Mother's Day. Every head bowed, please. I'm going to close the service with an invitational song. I know it's Mother's Day, but at the same time, I pray that this would be your desire, not just moms, but every person here today. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee, set apart to you, Lord. And Father, I pray right now for each one of us, that we would evaluate where we are with you. And if there's someone here today that has not yet placed their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you may give them the courage to step forward and have someone lead them to that saving knowledge before they leave today. Lord, for each mom that is here, we are thankful. And I pray that you would give them a great blessing today with their families as all possible. Lord, we'll give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our invitation is one in which respond.